You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, the Lakers got another Ingram. They cloned Brandon Ingram. They are going to have a second 6'9" wing who is capable of being a point guard if need be, sliding up to maybe the two spot, though we're a little concerned about that. But it has to be pretty exciting. Why didn't they do this all along?
So that is not exactly what happened. It turns out there are multiple families with the last name Ingram, and Andre Ingram, who has actually been a professional far longer than Brandon Ingram at the age of, I forget how old he was.
That's a good start. We're off to a great start.
Yeah, we are off to a great start. But he's like the all-time. They signed Andre Ingram for the last two games of their season to fill in backcourt depth. It's looking increasingly unlikely that Lonzo Ball will play again, that Brandon Ingram will play again, and that Kyle Kuzma will play again. And so they signed G League, 9-year G League veteran, or D League and G League veteran, Andre Ingram. He is 32 years old and is the all-time league leader in made three-pointers. He led the defenders.
The G Leaguer. In the G League.
And G League 3-point. Sorry, the D League, G League. It was the D League for most of his existence in the pros, and then it was the G League this year. He also led the South Bay Lakers this season in 3-point percentage with 47.5%, which is, I'm being told, really, really good.
I can confirm it is hashtag good. So we're going to talk about Ingram in the first part of the show and just say what he might offer at this point of the season. The Lakers have, what, two or three games left? So we're gonna talk about that a little bit. If we have time, I'm gonna try my hand at an Anthony's hot take. Right, so we'll see how that goes. And then on the backside of it, now that the Sixers have won 50 games, Harrison and I both think that it's worth kind of discussing whether or not, you know, they both started, the Sixers and the Lakers both started their rebuilds at roughly the same time, and one team is in the playoffs and has won 50 games, and has the Lakers have a bright future too, but it's pretty hard to debate what the Sixers have going for them over there in Philadelphia. So we're gonna compare the two. That'll be in the third block. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I'm Not Very Good at Ping Pong. Let's go ahead and get into this, though. Ingram, like you said, number one thing that he brings to the table is, one, he is a warm body that can take minutes away from, you know, if Kyle Kuzma tries to go on his kind of dinged up ankle, or he might take away minutes from Tyler Ennis, which is good for everybody's psyche. But the number one he brings to the table in terms of as a basketball player is shooting. He can let it rip.
Yes, 46.1% from three for his career. He has 713 made threes in the G League / D League history, which is the all-time lead by almost 200 threes. Like, you can't really understate how good and consistent he's been from distance. And one thing that the Lakers have really needed this year, like probably their worst area this season, has been 3-point percentage, and like, or at least 3-point shooting. For the most part, they've been really, really bad at spacing the floor, and it's led to some clogged lanes at times. And they, like, Andre can help that if he gets some minutes. And the Lakers are 29th in 3-point percentage. I just looked that up. And so I think he can help them from spacing perspective, but I think most of all, he's just a warm body. It's a fun, feel-good story that can inject. I think sometimes intangibly that kind of thing can inject some energy into a locker room. Like, hey, here we got this new guy. This is his first NBA shot. Like, I'm here to play can you guys get your effort up? And I not to say that effort has really been a problem for the Lakers the last couple games. It's been lack of talent. But, you know, maybe a little bit of shooting can help them if Ingram gets some minutes.
And if his shot translates. I mean, there's no reason to not think it might not or to think it might not. But, you know, we have seen guys, Anthony Brown comes to mind, who light it up like crazy down there in the G League. And for whatever reason, his shot doesn't necessarily translate. So.
We've seen guys like Travis Ware, who is the flip side. He was shooting really well in the G League and this year, and then he shot really well in the NBA. So yeah. It can go both ways.
Ingram couldn't say.
We should say Andre, I feel like, just because we have two Ingrams on the team.
All shouts to Andre. It'd be really cool if you know, he makes it and makes good on this opportunity, but... It would have been kind of cool if the Lakers invented cloning. Like, think about actual light years.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, the first thing they would have done is not clone Ingram. That would be clone Kobe.
You would.
I'm just saying. Like, we know already that that's the first guy that they're going
to
clone.
You realize if they try to clone Kobe, the actual Kobe would kill the clone Kobe?
No. I think he would understand that he was beaten and would we sacrifice call him himself Kobe? To clone. Clone B.
Would it be Kobe Bryant?
Yeah. And then Magic would clone himself and, like, you know, set up Kobe for years and light years ahead. Lakers win the next 20 titles.
I can't believe the Lakers haven't done this so far. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Best of luck to Andre Ingram. I have the audio. I'm trying to go through our show archive on iTunes and on Megaphone to find just the straight interview that we did with Ingram. If we can, we'll just retweet that from our accounts and you guys can listen to that conversation. It was a fun one. It was a couple of years ago.
It was our first player that we ever had on Locked On Lakers.
We had a coach before that, but a certain somebody lost the audio.
Was that before that?
I think it was before that. I remember
whether or not the infamous deleted Kobe Carl interview was was before or after
this. I think Andre and I gave you a little bit of a hard time about it, is why I'm thinking I remember it.
Well, I guess you'll have to listen to the old show to find out.
All right. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, I might have a hot take. We'll see how it goes. But we do want to get into this conversation about the Philadelphia 76ers rebuild and the process and everything that that's come along with and what the Lakers have done. We'll do that here in a bit.
Is your hot take that I sound exactly like Darius, apparently? Like, people have been tweeting at me. I don't understand. I don't hear it. I don't understand it.
Who has other people be except for Jay Moore saying it?
No. This was a thing on Twitter this morning. I had like a bunch of people tweet at me that they originally thought I was Darius.
I was golfing all morning, so.
Oh, good for you.
I missed it. I shot pretty well. I shot a 40 on the front nine.
And our listeners do not particularly care.
It was a good front. Not as good on the back nine. It was not as good. Much like this Lakers season. It was, like, really promising, and then...
Or this podcast.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready? You ready for this? You ready for this hot take?
Should we play the hot take sound effect, or is this, like, a serious one?
No. It'd be... Let's make sure everybody understands it's an Anthony's hot take. Let's play the sounder.
Okay. Did you have to do that? Like, now it's going to be harder to edit. Oh, I hate you.
All right, are you ready? Harrison, the Lakers are soft. I'm sick of these millennials in their video games, in their Instagrammies, in their snapper chatters. I'm sick of Lonzo, big baller, broken ankle. I'm sick of Brandon, Outgram. I can't do this anymore. This is just so... much day-to-dayness. Look, did you know, this is actually a statistical fact, Kobe Bryant never missed a game in the history of basketball. He actually played before he was actually born. He played for the Lakers.
Anthony, that's not true, because you talk about how bad Kobe was all the time and how injury-prone he was his last couple of years.
That's besides the point. The young Lakers are playing. They have statues out front. Elgin Baylor just got his statue. Did you know that that statue has been more productive for the Lakers in the last couple weeks than the actual Lakers? I don't know how I'm going to make that work. I'm not sure how I'm going to make that point and prove it statistically.
It hasn't missed a shot.
It has not. It has not. It hasn't missed a game. It's out front. It's at Staples Center every game.
Well, except for before it was, like, erected.
I would prefer that you use better language on here. We don't need to talk about erect and all of those things. Back to the point, Harrison. Is there reason to be concerned about Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram and Marco Nunez? Is there a reason to be concerned about the direction of this franchise and their health moving forward?
No,
nobody cares what you have to say, Harrison. This is my hot take. The Lakers are of course there's reason to be concerned. Look, all I know is Magic Johnson never missed a game. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar never missed a game. Byron Scott never missed a game. The player, I can say his name if I'm referring to the player. As
no,
a coach,
no,
he never
no,
missed
no,
a
game. No, that was a fine.
No,
it
is not a fine. There's
you
no
don't get
fines
to just
during
amnesty yourself
there's, no,
on
there's
the, no
fines during hot takery. I think
no,
that's a rule.
Never been a thing.
That is a thing. I'm making it a thing. This is my hot take. George Mikan never missed a game. AC Green literally never missed a game. He was actually called Iron Man. Derek Fisher never missed a game. These kids have missed roughly half this season.
I don't understand. Are you making fun of your original take that the Lakers have handled injuries poorly by doing a parody hot take about it?
You don't know that it was my original take because we didn't say it on the air. That's it. That's all I have. But I am legitimately concerned that these damn millennials are
for
breaking
the record,
their fingers.
I'd like to note, for the record, I'd like to note that this was Anthony's take, and I successfully argued him into not believing it, and then he decided to make fun of the idea that anyone would believe that in a parody hot take.
Nothing
that he did not tell me he was going to do before we went on the air.
This cannot be proven because it was not recorded. Thank God D'Angelo Bustle isn't here to Instagram my takes before we go on the air.
Yeah, you're definitely getting fined.
That's it, though. All right, how'd I do for my first hot take? How'd I do?
Let's stick to Harrison's hot takes.
Oh, man. Let me know how you guys think I did. All right, let's go ahead and get into this the Sixers conversation, though. Awkward segue. That's the only way we know how to segue. This is not me giving a hot take. The Sixers and the Lakers, I believe their first overall pick, they both happened at roughly the same time, right?
I feel like maybe you should have looked that up or had somebody look it up.
I'm thinking that's true because Julius Randle and Joel Embiid, I think, were both from the same draft.
Yeah. And are we not accounting Michael Carter Williams?
Okay. No, he was the vital first piece that helped them tank. He started the process by being so terrible.
No, he helped them get the Lakers pick.
Yeah.
That they then used and gave to like Boston conditionally.
Yeah, and although I think they get a Lakers pick this year. They're getting a pick this year.
Depending on where it lands.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it's like that. The Lakers are out of the range where mathematically
speaking. Oh, where
Boston speaking,
would get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so the Sixers and Lakers started their rebuilds at roughly the same time. It should be noted that at the time of the rebuilds, the Lakers had fewer assets to work with than the Sixers did because the Lakers had just gone all in and just tried to acquire Dwight Howard. Although the Sixers were a part of that trade, they took on, I believe, did they take on Andrew Bynum? I think they did, right?
Yes.
They took on Andrew
take
Bynum.
On. Well, they thought that they were getting their centerpiece.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops. He actually started the process then. We're figuring out the foundations of this process. But yeah, so the Sixers draft Joel Embiid. He misses a full year. Julius Randle essentially missed his full year. He played 15 minutes. And then Joel Embiid missed another full season, right? Last year was the first year that he actually
played. Last year was his first season that he actually played, and he managed like 31 or 32 games.
And still, people somehow were arguing that he should have been eligible for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, he absolutely should have won Rookie of the Year last year. It is a travesty that award went to Malcolm
Brogdon.
No,
he was in his second.
Malcolm Brogdon got the Participation
All right, we're gonna,
Rookie of the Year award.
We're going to argue about this then, it looks like, when we come back from the break.
Participant of the Year.
So you honestly think that be a redshirt rookie, essentially. When they make their first appearance in the NBA, those guys should be eligible for Rookie of the Year?
I don't know. That's like a different discussion. Like this year, I get if you buy that argument for Simmons versus Mitchell or whatever. But last year, the rookie class was like so garbage in terms of production. I just don't care. I'm willing to throw that out the window. I'm willing to throw out that he missed more than half the season out the window. And I just do not care at all. Like it should have been Joel Embiid. It's a joke that Malcolm Brogdon nobody's going to remember who Malcolm Brogdon is in like 10 years.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands that Harrison Fagan just called both Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram trash.
Last year, Ben Simmons didn't play, and and Brandon Ingram might as well have not had for most of the year.
I'm of the mindset that if you received NBA checks, you are no longer a rookie at that point. Period.
I mean, that's a fair argument to make. I just like the fact that like any award, any rule, or any stance that is like that results in Malcolm Brogdon as your Rookie of the Year, I just can't really get behind.
Isn't he like 25 already?
He's like, I think he's like 37, and might just as well. Like spent a lot of time in the NCAA, and was like he was just like he won it for like basically being like not bad,
or well, he was still pretty bad. He was like okay. But
yeah, he was fine. He was like, okay. He'll be a fine role player.
He was like, honestly, fine
I would probably rather have Josh Hart. I don't know if that's a hot take.
Ooh,
and like, I'm not going to argue that Josh Hart should be Rookie of the Year.
I think last year that would be a hot take. This year, Brogdon was pretty disappointing.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I think though,
but like, I can't. You've gotten very sidetracked here.
All right. So, but to get back to the point. Do you think it's fair to judge the Lakers rebuild against the Sixers rebuild and kind of wonder how they fell short?
Yeah, I mean, they fell short by not drafting Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Well, did they fall short by not losing enough? Like, did they fall short by...
I mean, there's no guarantee that if they had lost more, they would have ended up with those picks.
Is that true? Like, if the Lakers... I think the Sixers just kind of assumed they were essentially awarded number one overall picks, right? For
Embiid wasn't a number one pick.
Who's picked first his year? Oh, Towns? No. Embiid was picked first overall.
No, he was definitely not picked first overall.
All right, we got to find this out. Joel Embiid draft.
This has arguably been our worst podcast.
You know
of all
what,
time.
Harrison? There is not anything to talk. All right, he was the third pick overall in 2014.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So in that regard, then they did a good job. That was actually.
But that's what I'm saying. They did a good job drafting. And so, like, good for them. They got, like, two generational talents that are probably going to lead them to at least one title. Like, and what's funny is I'm going to say that, and Sixers fans are going to be mad that I didn't say, like, at least seven. But.
Oh, I'm not all. I don't think any superstar moving forward is going to win more than, like, four or five titles. I think those days are done. But
I just think they're going to win a title at some point in Philadelphia. If everything goes according to plan, they might win a title this year. Mm. Like, I don't think that we can completely rule that out.
I can.
I don't know. I think there's like a 1 or 2% chance.
I can pretty confidently say that they don't. Okay, 1 or 2% chance.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think you'll be able to get 100 to 1 odds on on the Sixers winning a title this year.
Put 7 down. Trust the process.
All right, so here's the thing. I think the Lakers kind of suffered. This is going to sound negative, but I think the Lakers, because they had Kobe, they weren't able to just fully commit themselves to being as terrible as they possibly could have been.
No, they couldn't, and they got held up a little bit by that. But I don't know that there are a lot of Lakers fans that would advocate, especially with the way that things ended, with that phenomenal last game, where there are a lot of Lakers fans that are like, oh, you know what the Lakers should have done? It's cut ties with Kobe and started to fully tank harder the last couple of years.
Although, I don't know, man. Like,
I think if you walked around LA and you just sampled Lakers fans, not on Twitter, but just like in a general place on the internet, because Twitter is like a really bad measurement of sample size and it's a very like niche community of people. But if you were to just like do like some type of actual scientific poll, I don't think that there would be that the majority of Lakers fans would argue that the Lakers should have just cut Kobe.
Not cut. I would have tried to trade him as the Celtics
did. Either trade him, whatever. Like, there aren't a whole lot of – and they wouldn't have been able to get a lot of value for him at that
point. I don't know. Did you see what the Celtics got at the time for Paul George and Kevin Garnett's old corpses?
Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And they were still good at the time. Kobe was coming off of an Achilles tear.
Well, no. The year that he was – yeah.
You're saying they should have traded him before that? Before the Dwight Mary year, they should have acquiesced to Dwight Howard and traded him?
That would have been tough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing.
After the Achilles tear, they weren't going to get the value to the point where it was worth giving up on him. Like, you can say that their rebuild hasn't gone as perfectly as the Sixers, but most teams don't. Most teams don't go from 10 wins to 50 wins in, like, 4 years or whatever it is, the insane thing that I saw in that Tom Ziller column this morning. Here's the way I'll put it.
If you're going to trade Kobe, you had better win. Like, the Celtics had better win, right? Like, if I'm Jared Ephraim, I think that's how you say his name.
Ephraim.
He roasted you yesterday. If he is talking about this same scenario with Paul George, I would hope that the Celtics win a title. Paul Pierce, Freudian slip. If they don't win a title with the assets that they get back in that Paul Pierce trade, then I would be pretty disappointed.
But I think Celtics fans are already happy with the way that trade turned out.
But at the same time, well, I don't know, man. Like, Paul Pierce.
I don't know.
I think if they don't win a title, if they don't get to an NBA Finals using the assets that they got back in that trade, You can't make both sides of this point. You can't say that the Boston Celtics are okay with the way that the trade worked out, and then also say that Laker fans are okay with the way that the Kobe situation worked out. Like, you can't.
Yeah,
make
I definitely
both of those
can
points.
Because they're
no,
two different
can't.
Things.
Those,
they
those
were able
two,
to get they were able to get value.
They were similar
for Garnett
icons
and
in both of the in both.
They
of
were
the
able to get value for Garnett and Pierce. Number one, Celtics fans were never as attached to either as Lakers fans are as attached to Kobe. Number two, Garnett and Pierce were not coming off of an Achilles tear when the Celtics traded them, and they were able to fleece the Nets for an amazing deal. The Lakers would not have been able to do that. They would have traded Kobe, and they would have gotten a pretty, like, probably crappy and underwhelming return for him if they were trading him coming off of Achilles surgery. And then those guys would have been just hated by Lakers fans because the Lakers would have had to go into the tank. And
if you're telling me that Billy King
would be better off by tanking harder than they did.
If you're telling me that Billy King, under Mikhail Prokhorov's nudging in that direction,
after they traded for Garnett and Pierce,
if at the same exact time they could make a trade for either Pierce and Garnett or for Kobe, I think
they made the Pierce and Garnett trade the year after the Achilles, the same summer as the Achilles tear, right?
Right. I think so. I think that's how that timeline played out. Maybe a year later.
Even if it did, there's no way that they would have made that a trade for Kobe instead of those two guys who were not coming off of Achilles tears. And, like, you're kidding yourself.
Garnett had missed significant time.
Not coming off of an Achilles tear at age 35,
back to back seasons didn't finish the season because of his knee problems.
But still, he was not as injured as Kobe. Achilles tear is a different thing.
That happened right at the end of the season. And if you were to, if I'm telling you right now, if Billy King was under Mikhail Prokhorov's supervision, was told, all right, you have to win at all costs and get butts in the seats at all costs, I think he makes a similar trade for Kobe as he did for Pierce and Garnett.
They wouldn't have had the assets left. Look at the assets they had left. They don't have assets.
Huh?
They don't have assets
now.
I'm saying they could have if
the Lakers made Kobe and Powell available just the way that the Celtics made Pierce and Garnett available, you would get similar assets back, I think.
That's a more interesting debate. I don't know I still don't know that it's true because Garnett was still better than Powell at that point. And
look at the last the seasons before Garnett was traded out of Boston. He was hurt.
He was injured, but he was still a better player.
Maybe by reputation, but not statistically. Powell was a much better player at the time because he wasn't hurt. And if you look at
there's a reason Powell's still playing now, and Garnett is not. Again, we've gotten very sidetracked from the original question of, like, should the Lakers rebuild have gone faster? I just don't really see a way that they could have gone faster other than just, like, nailing every draft pick.
Fleecing Billy King.
Yeah. Like,
no, I think to actually answer the question, there is no way to fairly judge the two situations. And the fact that Sam Hinkie is no longer employed says a lot about the fact that, like, that process has turned out
great.
Neither
are the guys who started the Lakers process.
What's that?
Neither are the guys who started the Lakers process, which I guess is, like, ultimately shows you, like, nothing matters.
Well, that was the league stepping in and getting rid of Sam Hinkie because of the ties to tanking that he just openly bragged about, right? And Sam Hinkie doesn't have a Timofey Mozgov or a Lou Alding contract under his belt. And then you also have the nepotism that comes along with the Colangelos in the NBA for some reason. But I think there is no way to fairly judge it. There's a ton of what-ifs. And while it is kind of frustrating to see that the Lakers, you know, and we'll see what the Lakers do this upcoming offseason with Paul George potentially on the table and LeBron potentially on the table. It is, you know, we'll see what happens there. And it is kind of frustrating to see the way that things are going in Philly behind those two potential super duper stars. And we'll see what they do in the playoffs. But you know, there is no way to fairly compare the two because the two organizations are just not the same.
We agree that we just had that long fight because, and we agreed the whole time.
I think there are different ways to get at the same answer. But you're crazy if you're telling me I just flatly disagree that Billy King wouldn't have given more for Powell and Kobe than he gave.
Not
up
coming
for,
off of an Achilles tear. I'm sorry. I'm telling it's just, you.
All right,
you're kidding yourself.
I'm going to ask the question on Twitter and see what.
Sure,
see
ask the question on Twitter.
I'm going to. And if I'm wrong, you have to.
I don't really. To be honest, like Twitter is not like a very good value metric.
It depends on the response to it. Like it depends on who's responding. Like if it's just a straight vote thing, then no, I don't think I would run with that. But if it becomes like a debate and it becomes a conversation and I see who's siding where, I think it's fair to wonder.
Sure, blow up your mentions. Don't at me.
I'm gonna at you. You're gonna get.
I swear to God, Anthony, I will mute that conversation so fast.
Get that mute button ready. All right, we'll be back at it again tomorrow.
I will not. I'm not coming back. Not after today.
I'm going to listen to the Andre Ingram conversation. If I can't find it in our links, then I'll either post it directly to YouTube or something or something like that. But we did have a really fun conversation back a couple years ago at the beginning of Locked On Lakerdom. And when he was with the then Defenders, it was a fun conversation. He's a really, really, really nice guy. I think you
one
guys
of
would
like
enjoy that.
Honestly, in profiling him, like I've interacted with a lot of professional athletes. What I'm not saying as a professional athlete, I'm saying in terms
person.
Of people that I have met, yeah. Andre Ingram is one of the nicest and most well liked people I have ever met. Like that's a great guy to have in your locker room. I don't know where his NBA or basketball journey goes after this. I don't know if this is like his send off. He is getting up there for like especially for a shooting guard, but he can still play and he can still shoot. And so we'll see how like I think he's a guy that really likes to play. And you know this is like. But really, I'm really happy for him. He's like this has been something that people around the Defenders and South Bay Lakers, like when you talk to just employees of the team, people in the front office, like this is something that people have wanted for a long time to see him get a call up.
Best of luck, Andre. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.